Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Good morning, Rock of Ages. Good morning. Thank you so much for just allowing us to be in your home today. We praise God for you every moment that we get. I just want to thank God for this opportunity to minister the Word of God to you this morning on behalf of Pastor Soto. And so we're so excited for what I believe God is doing in our midst. You know, sometimes it's hard to see it, but the Lord is in fact at work. Amen. But right there where you are, I want to just take time to bless the offering today. And so if you have your tithes and your offering and even your kingdom giving, if you weren't able to give that last week, I want you to just prepare that and prepare your hearts to give before the Lord. Amen. Why don't we pray for that today? Father, we just thank you for your goodness, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for the power of your hand, God, in this season. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one who has sustained us, God, and you have brought us through this entire season, Lord. And I pray, Father, that, Lord, it's been a safe journey for all of us, Lord. But, Lord, even if there's been some of us, God, that have been affected along the way, God, I just pray, Father, God, for their strength, Lord. I pray for their healing and their well-being, Lord. But Lord, most of all, we thank you, God, because you are Jehovah Jireh, God. You are our provider, Lord. And so, Father, we thank you for the provision that you've given us throughout this season, Father. And we pray, Father God, as we always do, Lord, that as we give these tithes and as we give these offerings unto you, Father, first and foremost, God, we would recognize today, Father, that this is an act of love. This is an act of obedience to your word, Father. And so, Lord, I thank you, God, for willing hearts, God, for thankful hearts, Lord, cheerful givers, God, that are able to give today, Father. And so I pray a blessing upon each and every one of their lives today, God. Bless them, Father God, Lord, as they give, Father. And Lord, may we always remember, God, that when we give, Father, this is not just, Lord, giving, Father God, into your hands, Lord, but this is also, Father, to, Lord, support the work of this ministry, Father. And we just thank you for that, Lord, today as well. And so, Father, bless them, Lord, in all of their endeavors, Father. And even if there is someone, God, that is experiencing a season of lack, Lord, right now, God, maybe it's hours at work, God, or maybe it's a bill that came in. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would supernaturally provide for them, God. Turn it around for them, God. Give them favor in the workplace, Lord. Give them increase in their finances, Lord, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we love you. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you, church. Also, quickly this morning, I just want to let you know that last week we did not partake of communion. So if you have the communion elements in your home, it could be some juice, some water, some crackers, maybe even a cookie. Listen, get those things ready quickly, and we're going to take communion at the end of this morning's service as well. If you'll allow me just for a few moments this morning, I want to speak to you on the subject of fear. Fear is the enemy's most often used strategy to cause worry and panic and doubt and skepticism in the heart of God's people. It's been the enemy's method for centuries that he uses this to rob believers of their authority in Christ. And so he'll use deceit, he'll use mockery, he'll use intimidation as well, but he is most famous for implanting seeds of fear in the hearts of believers. And so the enemy's ultimate purpose behind this of fear is so that we would be a faithless people. That is so we would ignore and we would not press forward into the work that God has for us in this time that we're living in. Amen? And so the enemy, when he gets a hold of someone's heart through fear, it's you become this frozen, you become an immovable object. You almost become paralyzed with it because what its goal is to do is to stop the work of God. It's to ultimately hinder the work of God. And so, you know, you can look at it like this, is that it's almost like, you know, when fear grips a believer, it's like turning off the light. And the more believers that are affected by fear, the darker the room, the darker the city, the darker the world and the community gets. And so fear has its way of stopping the work of God in the life of every believer. And so when fear is presented by the enemy, it also often will lead you into some form of distraction. I believe that most of us can could relate to this. You know, how many times were you going to take time to pray about an issue, but then something else caught your attention? That is, something distracted you and it pulled you away from that time that you were going to spend with the Lord. Or how many times were you going to spend time in the Word of God, you know, to wage war against the enemy, but something came up? You see, these are all tactics of the enemy to stop the work of God, to remove you from that moment of prayer, to remove you out of that place of spending time with the Lord. And so sometimes we may not realize that we're actually being controlled by fear. Because when fear gets a grip on us, the proof is always in the fruit. And so I want us to look at this story in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. It's the story of David and Goliath. And I believe in the Old Testament, you know, Goliath, he is a representation of Satan. He really is a description of the enemy. And so the first thing that the enemy presents in this story is the nation of Israel. He presents them with intimidation. And so the story begins by Goliath, you know, by calling Goliath this champion. And then it describes the force to which they would be reckoned with. And so if you have your Bibles, open it to 1 Samuel 17 and verse 4. It says, his height was 6 cubits and a span. That's about 9 feet, 9 inches. And it says, he had a bronze helmet on his head and he wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. That's about 125 pounds. And it goes on to say in verse 6, it says, on his legs he wore bronze greaves, and it says, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. Verse 7 says, his spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. That is about 15 pounds. And his shield bearer went ahead of him. That is, he had a guy just to carry the shield independently alone. And so when you think about this and you read through this story, after reading a description like this, it's no wonder that none of the Israelites went to the battle line to fight against Goliath. It's no wonder that not any one of them was willing to charge that battle line. The Bible describes that there was 100,000 soldiers lined up in that valley. Over 100,000 men, and this one guy, this one champion, as it describes, this one, you know, giant of a man, he was able to strike fear into 100,000 men. The army of Israel, God's best that they could put forth to a battle line. They were struck with fear. And as if that wasn't enough, the Bible says that Goliath, he began to shout a challenge to the entire army. And he goes on to say in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 8, he goes, why do you come out and line up for battle? He goes, am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? He says, choose a man and have him come down to me. And if he is able to fight and kill me, then we will become your subjects. He goes, but if I overcome him and kill him, then you will be our subjects and serve us. Now, I want to back up just for a second. Notice what he says. He says, if he's able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But the truth of this story is that they were already their subjects. And that's exactly what the enemy does, is he wants to get you to question who you are. He wants to get you to question who you are in God. You see, the Israelites were God's chosen people. Even if they had gone to the battle line and been defeated, that doesn't change what their identity was. But he says in verse 10, he says, then the Philistine said, he goes, this day I defy the armies of Israel. He goes, give me a man and let us fight each other. And verse 11 says, on hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all of the Israelites were dismayed and they were terrified. You see, part of the enemy's strategy, church, is getting you to question whether or not you're able, whether or not you're capable, whether or not you're qualified or you're empowered and so on. And so the Bible says upon hearing the enemy's words that the king and all of his soldiers were dismayed and they were terrified. That is, they weren't about to move a muscle because they heard this defiant enemy. They heard this giant that seemed larger than life. They heard this man just pierce their hearts with these vile words and this great challenge that they didn't know what to do. They were stuck. They were paralyzed. And why did this happen? Think about this. Because I believe, church, that they heard, that they believed what they saw and what they heard. You see, with just a question of their authority, with just a question and a challenge from the enemy, all of a sudden they had turned from believing who they were in God to believing what the enemy actually said. In that moment, they believed what they saw. They believed that this giant was greater than 100,000 men. They heard him defy their armies. They heard him shout out a challenge to their life. And they all of a sudden, they struck back with fear. Isaiah says in chapter 41 and verse 10, he says, "So do not fear, for I am with you." He says, "Do not be dismayed, for I am your God." He says, "I will strengthen you and I will help you. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You see, church, we need to realize something is that you become what you believe. I said, you become what you believe. That is, if you receive the lies of the enemy, you will be stricken with fear and with worry and with doubt and anxiety. But the Lord says, amen, he says, do not fear. Do not be dismayed. He says, because he is your God. Amen. Somebody say, he is my God. It says he will strengthen you. He will help you. He will uphold you with his righteous right hand. You see, this is the God that we serve. And any time the enemy comes to bring a report into your life that is not of the Lord, listen, church, I need to give you the opportunity to not obey. You see, we're always used to obeying things as believers, but in this moment, you don't have to obey. You don't have to listen to the challenge of the enemy. In fact, you can close your ears and you can rebuke that thought in Jesus' name. Amen? And so the first thing as believers in Christ that we must do is rebuke what we see and hear when we know it's of the enemy. When you know it is a word of the enemy, when you can see the giant standing before you, presenting a challenge, trying to strike fear into your life, you need to rebuke that. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm reminded of Christ during that storm with his disciples, and many of you know the story, but the Bible says that when Jesus awoke, he rebuked the wind and the waves, and he declared peace over that situation, and what happened? Everything became still. Everything became calm. And I have to ask this question, it's so important. Could it be that the storms that last, they actually remain until we bring forth a rebuke? Could it be that what we tolerate will continue to torment us until we've released that chain-breaking power of Christ into the situations we face? Could it be, church? The Israelite army, they stood frozen for more than 40 days. I'm reminded the walls that Nehemiah rebuilt, they were destroyed for 152 years, church, before God would use Nehemiah to rebuild them in 52 days. What's the point? The results of fear are misplaced authority. It's having given our attention to the wrong things that enable them to have authority over us. It's Peter giving his attention to the impossibility that he was walking on an ocean that made him sink. It was David giving his attention to the lust of his eyes that made him sin with Bathsheba. You see, it was the Israelite army being more impressed with the size of Goliath than the fact that they together could have defeated him. You see, what you give your attention to, you're actually lending your authority to. You see, our strength isn't being in the church building. Our strength is being those two or three who will agree upon anything. That is where our strength comes from, church. And right now, I get it. We're all in our homes. We've all been isolated. We've all been social distancing. We've been quarantining ourselves. And listen, right now, you have the greatest strength available to you. It's not existing in this building, but it's agreeing with your family. It's agreeing with the two or three that you might be gathered with today to agree that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and that whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I want to read this verse to you in Matthew 18 and 19. It says, this is a different translation. It says, again, I give you an eternal truth. If two of you agree to ask God for something in a symphony of prayer, my heavenly Father will do it for you. And it says, for wherever two or three come together in honor of my name, I am right there with them. I can guarantee that every single one of us today, we need the Lord. We need the Lord to reassure us that he is with us. We need the Lord to reassure us that he is fighting for us. Amen. But the church, you know, I have to ask you this question, is when will the church finally get to the real battle line? When will the church finally realize that what the news projects and what the media projects and what the numbers that you see, you know, rising and falling and all of these fears that we have because of an upcoming election and all of these things, this is not the real battle line, church, though those are a battle line. The real battle line is actually bending your knee in prayer. It is actually taking up the authority that Jesus has given to you to declare that we will be well, to declare that we will be made whole, to declare that the sick shall be healed, to declare that the dead shall be raised. It's taking up that authority, church, and saying when two or three gather, there he is with us. Amen? I can imagine, church, that there was a lot of murmuring along those battle lines as Goliath continued to defile the people of God. He said, give me a man and let us fight. He said, give me a man and let us fight. You see, the enemy is always going to try to put his terms and conditions on what kind of fight it's going to be. Think about that just for a second. Goliath wanted a man. But you see, this wasn't a man's battle. This was a defiance against the Almighty God. This wasn't just a battle between a man and another man and a giant. He wanted to fight a man, church, and on those terms, Goliath probably would have won. Think about this. And so we need to be ever so careful to not agree with the conditions that the enemy tries to set for us, because the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 10 and 3, it says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. It says, the weapons that we fight with are not weapons of this world. He says, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. You see, church, the warfare that we're actually waging against is spiritual and it's not in the flesh. We see it manifest in the flesh, but it began in the spirit. You see, and if you want to win a spiritual battle, you cannot attack it from a fleshly perspective. You can't just simply attack it from that place. You need to attack it in the spirit. You need to bow your knee and you need to begin right there in your home, praying against everything that the enemy is trying to get us to agree with. Everything that the enemy and the way he is trying to set the agenda for us, we need to rebuke those things in Jesus' name. You never need to let the enemy set the agenda, church. And I would propose to you this morning that the enemy has set a lot of agendas to be, you know, purposed in our nation today. It would be from Jesse, that is David's father, instructions that David would be sent to check on his brothers who were enlisted in Saul's army. This would be the beginning point of actually getting David to this battle line. And so when David arrives at the battlefield, Israel and the Philistines, they were drawing up lines to face each other. And it's at this moment that David finds his brothers to see how they were doing to report their well-being back to their dad. When he hears Goliath, David hears Goliath shout out his usual defiance. And because after 40 days, this had begun to be the new normal for them. Amen? And I can imagine that you can relate with this today that, you know, since mid-March, we've all pretty much been living in this new normal. We've all been pretty much living, from home, and we haven't been going out a lot. And, you know, we've been being safe because maybe someone, you know, we know has been affected by this virus and all these kinds of things. And so at this point, 40 days had gone by, and it was customary that Goliath would come out every single day and shout his defiance against the army of Israel. And in verse 24, it says that whenever the Israelites saw him, they all fled in great fear. Amongst them, church, were soldiers who began to discuss this reward of conquering Goliath. And so David is finally amongst all these men, and he overhears them talking about this. And so he says, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and who removes this grace, a disgrace from Israel? He goes, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And I believe David's interest, church, wasn't in receiving a temporal, that is an earthly reward, though that was part of the deal. But rather his focus was on fulfilling the will of God. Amen? And so it was in this moment that the enemy would launch another attack, and one that many of you and I have probably experienced. And at that moment, it was an attack from a familiar voice. It would be sent through David's own brother in 1 Samuel 17 and 28. He goes on to say this. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and he asked, why have you come down here? He goes, and with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? He goes, I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. He goes, you came down only to watch the battle. You see, you fulfilling God's purpose, church, has everything to do with your ability to stay focused on the real enemy. Remember, I said that the enemy often uses fear as a distraction. And in this instance, the enemy tried to distract David from the more important battle. Now remember, the influences that we give our attention to will either gain or lose the authority for us. And so I have to make this little note to you this morning, church, is that social media tends to be a place where this operates all of the time. If you're on social media, and I know many of you are because I've seen you on, you know, the Facebooks and Instagrams and all those kinds of things, but it can become a giant of great distraction from the real battle. Amen? I'll say that one more time. It can become a giant of great distraction from the real battle. And so the enemy, what he does is he baits believers into social media warfare instead of spiritual warfare. No one receives Christ, and everyone becomes an enemy if they disagree with you. There's anger and there's angst, and all along the devil is laughing. But I'm here to remind someone that though Psalms 37 verse 12 goes on to say, it's as though the wicked plot against the righteous and they gnash their teeth at them. The Bible says, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows that their day is coming. Amen. But church, the battle isn't against your brother or sister in Christ. The battle has always been about God's children believing in the power of the one that they possess to destroy any giant that stands before him. Amen? This is the real battle. And fear is that giant. Distraction is that giant. This virus is that giant. This pandemic is that giant, church. How many of you believe this morning that every giant that the enemy raises up against God's people, to fear is meant to be defeated in Jesus' name? Amen? They are all meant to be defeated. And so David, he knew exactly what would be accomplished, and it started by not giving into those distractions. It started by him saying, you know what? I'm not going to allow this to pull me away from the greater purpose. I'm not going to allow this temporary, earthly, you know, fleshly distraction to pull me away from the giant that's standing out there that is trying to take away our nation. David knew exactly how this was going to be accomplished, and it started by not giving in to those distractions, church. 1 Samuel 17 and 29, David responds to his brother. He says, now what have I done? He goes, can I even speak? Verse 30 says, he then turned away to someone else and he brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. You see, church, you could engage in any matter or you could stay focused on what really matters. I'll say that one more time. You can engage in any matter, but you need to stay focused on what really matters. And for David, that wasn't taking his eyes off the target of God's aim. You see, David knew where the real battle line was. David wasn't about to get caught up in social media warfare. David wasn't about to get caught up in his own brother attacking him. And sometimes that happens today. But David was looking at the most important matter. And dare I say, church, that many people are focused on other matters than what really matters. You see, and that is, we are living in a season where the enemy is causing division now amongst God's people. And it all started with fear. It all started with fear. It all, you know, started from that root of fear that is manifesting so many more things in this day and age that we're living in. The enemy is trying to fulfill his purpose to disarm the church. But I need to remind every person that believes. How many of you believe today? I need to remind every person that believes in the powerful name of Jesus Christ and that declares him as Lord of their life to never forget what Jesus told Peter after his confession of lordship. Matthew chapter 16 and 18 goes on to say, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Now, the rock in this verse is not Peter. The rock is actually Jesus. He goes, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, of hell, will not overcome it." He goes, "And I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And so this morning, I'm here to remind you, church, that the enemy is disarmed and he is defeated in Jesus' name. Amen. And only those who have Jesus in their hearts actually possess the keys to lock up and the keys to unlock. That is, that the enemy has no authority. He has no keys. And therefore, he is subject on what we agree upon to do in this world. Amen. And so for David, the opposition of fear was an opportunity to practice his faith. It wasn't a moment for him to shrink back. It wasn't a moment for him to succumb to fear. You see, though he had never faced this giant, church, his God had delivered him from lions, and he had delivered him from bears that tried to harm his flock. And every time, God enabled him to strike them down and to kill him. Every single time, he killed every single one of them. And you see, and something that the enemy tries to do is discourage us from fighting an enemy that we've never seen before, church. You get so worried and you get so bottled up in fear because COVID-19 is the latest enemy. This pandemic and all this stuff that we're going through is the latest enemy. We think that just because there's so many unknowns that surround it, it's as if God is not prepared for this battle. You see, I get it. They're working on a vaccine. They're working on all this kind of stuff. Medical professionals are scrambling to do everything that they can do. Listen, church, that's not even the point. If we have allowed ourselves to be drawn into the enemy's lies, to be drawn into fear, then we are losing sight of the fact that our God is behind us. He is above us. He is below us. He is in every circumstance before we ever get there, church. And guess what? He too will rescue us from this. He too will get us through this. Corrie ten Boom says this. She says, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. We must believe that the God we possess, church, is greater than the lies of the one who is trying to destroy us. Amen? And if I place my trust in my ability to determine the outcome of a circumstance, I have chosen foolishness instead of faith. If I'm going to try to guess the outcome of what this whole season is leading us into, church, I am misplacing my faith and I'm choosing foolishness. David showed faith and belief when he said in 1 Samuel 17 and 37, he says, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Just because we haven't encountered a season like this doesn't mean that the God who goes before us, the God who fights our battles, who isn't fazed by circumstance, is unable to defeat this enemy, church. In fact, the last time that I checked, my God is undefeated. Amen? Can somebody say, your God is undefeated. That is, He is able. He is the God of the impossible. He is the rock on which we stand. He is the righteous ruler. He is the avenger, church, of our souls and the defender of the weak. He is the one who brings justice. He is the great I am. He is the Prince of Peace. He is our deliverer. He is our hope of glory. He is worthy, church. He is good in everything that He does. He is the maker of the heavens and the earth. He is the name above all names, church. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. He is mine and I am His. He is the Lord of all. He is our strong tower, church. He is our refuge. He is the God who was and the God who is to come. He is Alpha. He is Omega. He is the author, church, and the finisher of our faith. He is more than enough, church. He is our hope. He is our victory. He is the champion, church. He is all you will ever need, and He is all that we ever have. He is our healer. He is our provider. He is our faithful one. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. He is the one who will come riding in on that white horse whose rider is named Faithful and True, church. He is coming back again. He is returning for those who long for His appearing. And He is the one who delivered David. He is the one who parted the seas for His children's deliverance. He is the one who defeated death, hell, in the grave with His resurrection power. And I have to ask, church, who are we to not believe in the power of our God? Who are we to not believe, church? If He has delivered you before, surely He will deliver you again. Amen? I said, surely He will deliver you again. But now is not the time to shrink back in fear. I said, now is not the time to shrink back in fear, church. But now is the time to press forward in faith. Now, church. Hebrews 10 and verse 36 says this. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a little while, He who is coming will come and He will not delay. He goes, but my righteous one will live by what, church? He will live by faith. He goes, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. Verse 39, he says, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Do you have faith this morning, church? Do you have faith today? For David, the will of God was meeting that giant at that battle line. And it was through his faith in God that that giant was defeated. Amen? But what battle line does God have you at today? You see, I believe for every single one of us, church, I believe that the battle line should be telling of the goodness of God. It should be telling of the faithfulness of God. It should be bowing our knees in prayer against this virus. It should be coming together as two or three to find true strength, church, in prayer to defeat this spiritual war that we're in. For some of you, you might even have a giant of fear to witness to others. Or for others, it could be the giant of fear against believing for your healing. It could be the giant of fear against an unknown future. Listen, I get it, but whatever the situation, church, apply faith this morning. Apply faith today, because it always, I said, it always defeats fear. Maybe someone has been listening to this message this morning, and you've heard so many things in the news from the media and rumors and all these things, and it's caused you to have sleepless nights. It's caused you to fear. It's caused you to worry. Listen, I believe that today is the day of salvation. Amen? I said, today is the day of salvation. And just like one enemy held captive by fear 100,000 soldiers, so through the victory, church, of one man named Jesus Christ is the freedom for all mankind. You see, though the enemy can try to put into fear into through the airwaves to all of society, listen, My Bible tells me that Jesus Christ died. And he took that place. He took the place of punishment that you and I deserve, church. That we would be redeemed unto God. That we would live as those that now no longer have a purpose of our own to gain for ourselves, but we would die to ourselves to live for him. To live for him. And so today, Jesus Christ wants to be the Lord of your life. He wants to be all. You see, church, we're not just partial believers. We are either surrendered or we're not. We're all in or we're not in at all. And today I pray that if you are hearing this message in the Holy Spirit, that's this other voice that's speaking to you. It's not mine. But the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart right now. And you're saying, Pastor Duke, listen, I need to be freed of all this stuff. I've been worried. I've been panicked. There's a lot of people with mental health issues that are just so, you know, distraught right now. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're worried for the future of your children. Listen, I get it. I get all that stuff. But see, it's no reason for me to misplace the authority that Jesus has given me. And if you're listening to this message and you haven't accepted him into your heart, then you will succumb to every single worry that the world throws your way. So today I want to pray for you to receive Christ as Lord. The Bible says it's so simple to receive him. Romans 10 and verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and you are saved. And so today Jesus invites us into just a life of surrender, amen, where he becomes our victory. He invites us into this place of living for his purpose, amen. And so if you'd like to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to pray with you today, and I want to make this invitation to you. All you have to do is simply just pray with me today. And pray on your own right there in your own home. If you would, just bow your head with me. Just say, simply say, Jesus. Say, Jesus, I confess today that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart today that God sent you to be the sacrifice for my sins. And I thank you today, Jesus, because of what you have done, so that I don't have to be a slave to fear, but I can be a son and a daughter of God today. I accept you in my heart, and I receive you as my Lord. From this day forward, Holy Spirit, teach me, show me the love of God, and help me to live for you until you return, in Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Listen, friend, if you prayed that prayer today, we're so happy for you. I rejoice, my heart is rejoicing with you. The Bible says that heaven right now is rejoicing over your life because you have just made the best decision that you could ever make. You could ever make. And that is trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen. And for the church, listen, I want to pray for you too. And that is that every seed of fear, every single place of fear that the enemy has tried to get into your life, that he has tried to use to manipulate you, and he has tried to use to distract you from the purposes of God in your life. Listen, I want to pray right now that we uproot every single seed of fear in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we just trust you today. And God, we just trust in you more, God, than the giants that stand before us, God. We believe, Lord, and we have faith in you, God, greater, God, than what is coming against us, Father. And you said, God, that if you would be for us, God, then who could be against us, Lord? And so, Father, Lord, we know, God, that the enemy right now has revealed himself, and he has, Lord, just, Lord, he has an onslaught, Father God, of weapons pointed at us today, God, in these times that we're living in, God. But I'm reminded of the truth of the Word of God, Lord, that, Lord, though a weapon is formed against me, God, it will not prosper. I said it will not prosper. It will not prosper in the name of Jesus, God. And so, Father, I pray for your people, God, that we would return back to that place of true strength, God. And that is, Lord, gathering together in prayer, God. That is, Lord, spending more time, God, before you, God, fighting this battle in a spiritual way, God, than fighting, Lord, in a carnal way, Father. And Father, I pray right now, Lord, for the offense and for the division, God, and the things, Lord, that the enemy is trying to use, God, to Lord, pull your people apart, Father. I pray against those things right now in Jesus' name, God. And I cause those walls of division, God, to crumble in the name of Jesus, God. Because, Father, our brother and sister in Christ is not our enemy, God. The enemy is our enemy. I said, the enemy is our enemy. And my Lord Jesus Christ trampled him under his feet, Lord, more than 2,000 years ago. And I remind him today that he is defeated. That he is defeated. And Father, for every other spiritual battle, God, that we are facing, God, in our nation, God, Father, I pray that, Lord, you would cause, Lord, Father, there to be healing in this land. But you said first, God, that if my people would humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, and then seek my face, then you will forgive our sins and you will heal our land. And so, Father, we need healing, God, for racial division, God. We need healing, God, Lord, in our political world, God, in the political systems, Father. We need healing, Father, in our church, God. We need healing and forgiveness, God, between our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need healing, God, and restoration, God, for our physical beings as well. Do it, Lord, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we also take this time, God, to pray, God, just for every family, God, Lord. Those, Lord, in our church, God, I know that school is about to start, God, and I know that we have a lot of medical professionals in our church as well, Father. And Lord, we just pray, God, for your safety, God, Lord, over them, Father. We pray, Father God, that, Lord, you would just guard them, Lord, with your mighty hand, Lord. Just set a hedge of protection around them, God. Give them angels, God, to just guard them in everything that they do, Father. And Father, we pray, Lord, for our city officials, God, and our government, God, and Lord, our mayors, God, and all these people, God, that are, Lord, putting certain things into place, Father. Father, we pray, God, Lord, we pray for our president as well, Father. We pray, God, for divine direction, Lord. I said we pray for divine direction, Lord. We don't pray against them, God. We pray for them, Lord, for divine direction, God. And Father, anything that the enemy is trying to use, God, in that realm, God, to distract them, Father God, we cast it down to the wayside, Father God, that your perfect will, God, would be done, Father. We love you, Jesus. So we love you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, today. We thank you, Lord, for your truth today, Father. We thank you for your word, God. May every heart receive, Father God, faith, God, today. Faith to move forward, Father God, Lord. To be a light unto this world, God. To be those, Father God, that would reach somebody for Jesus in these last days that we're living in, Lord. We trust you for these things and we thank you for these things, Lord. Father, as we always do, Father, we just bless your church. We bless your people, Father. Lord, we're awaiting the day, God, when we can all come back, Father. And we pray for wisdom, Lord, in doing so, Father. But Lord, we just trust, Father God, that in their homes, God, they're safe. They are well provided for, God. And that, Lord, your Holy Spirit is right there with them, Father God. Reminding them, Lord, that we will have the victory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Church, if you would, if you have your communion elements ready, we're going to take communion this morning. The Bible says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he had said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Please take the bread. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." He goes, "Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Please take the cup. Whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Father, I thank you for the broken body of Jesus. I thank you for his blood poured out for us today. And I thank you, God, that it is more than enough. It is still able to heal and deliver and save, Father. And so, Lord, let us just trust in you, God, in a greater measure today, Father. Father, we just thank you once again for your presence in this room, God, for your presence in the homes of every family, Lord, that is watching today. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, for them, God, that you would just continue to bless them, heal them, strengthen them, comfort them, Father, until you return, Father. And Lord, may we be found, God, doing your work, God. May we be found, Lord, as those, Father God, that are telling others about the goodness of Jesus Christ. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for these things, Lord. Bless everyone watching today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. God bless you, church. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.